So you were born in Hong Kong and moved to LA during your adolescence. How was that transition to America? Did you have any siblings, a big family? And feel free to elaborate.
Okay, well then there's, when we decided to move here, it was my dad, my stepmom, and she was pregnant with my little brother. So then I have an older brother, so there's literally five of us moved here. We have a very small family. And the transition to America was a little culture shock to me, because I've always thought, like growing up watching all the movies from America, I've always thought that America's supposed to be like this ultra, like, futuristic city.
Mm-hmm.
But then growing up in Hong Kong, it's a whole different story also. Yeah. So when I moved here, it was a little culture shock to me. It was... the only regrets I actually have was I didn't do well in school.
Mm-hmm.
Because English is actually our official language at that time.
Okay.
Because we were ruled by the British for like 160-some years.
Oh, so crazy. That's right. I like totally forgot about
so
that.
So English is literally our official language. All the legal documents and all are supposed to be in English. And I supposed to go to an English school. But I didn't do so well. Maybe I have ADHD or whatsoever, and I didn't focus on school. So when I moved here, my English is actually not that good. Not only have a Chinese accent, I also have British accent at the same time. So I've been always get picked on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it was a little challenging for me. But other than that, I always just kind of like had thick skin, and I'm always just me, I guess.
Yeah.
So it doesn't...
Always been a hustler.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me too much, but it was an interesting experience moving here.
That is interesting. In 160 years, I totally...
160-some years,
yeah. Like, based on that.
Yeah, so literally...
Got a history lesson today, too.
Yeah, they said when you go to Hong Kong, it's actually like London.
Oh,
yeah,
no way.
Infrastructure, buildings, and everything.
I'm very, very curious. I'll have to go one day.
Yeah, taxi... they used to have like phone booths and stuff. They're all like identical.
Oh, like the red ones?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, how cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I have no idea until I seen pictures from UK, and I haven't even been to UK.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're like, wait a second. Yeah, which city is this?
Yeah, so when I was growing up, we also, not only that, we will also eat like baked beans. We have a lot of like influence when it comes to food.
Uh-huh.
And it also... We also have to take etiquette class to use your utensils
properly.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
So we have a lot of similarity. There's like one
like
of
that English breakfast, kind of like baked beans kind of situation.
Yep, English breakfast with baked beans. And then also we have our biggest gambling sports is actually horse race.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Which is like totally British, obviously.
Totally
too.
British. And then soccer. We don't call them football.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Cool.
Yeah, so it was more like a culture shock from UK to America.
Yeah, and an interesting, like almost interesting weird transition. Twisted way.
Yep.
Got it.
And then I get the fun, like, oh, you're from a third world country, but I'm like, no, I'm not from a third world country.
You're like, actually, no, it's pretty well established.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, if you look at Britain.
So I always kind of have to like defend or explain myself, but back then, 36 years ago, there's no... Nobody really heard. I mean, people heard of Hong Kong, but it's more like older generation who go there to do business.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Otherwise, the normal 80-90% of the Americans never heard of or been to Hong Kong.
Yeah, I've never been to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But now I'm extra curious.
It's fun.
I'll have to go one day.
Yeah, every one of my friends who went, it's like, well, this is where you're from. Like,
yeah, like, oh, well, this is like not what I was expecting.
Yeah, it's futuristic.
Love it.
It's crazy.
It's been noted in 20, I know this from your bio, you started your jewelry design journey by making wish bracelets.
Yep.
Right? While visiting your partner who was diagnosed in the hospital.
Yeah, when we start dating for not long, like I think 3 months after he was diagnosed with leukemia. And back then... Everything was simultaneously happening. When I'm dating him, I've decided to open my company, and then he said, oh, I'll help you. But then he got into the hospital, so...
Oh my goodness, he was juggling a lot.
Yeah, he was in the hospital for like about... the treatment was 6 rounds of chemo, but in and out of the hospital for 9 months. So during that time, whenever he has time to get up, whenever he got out of the hospital, he'll help me with like street fairs and all of the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the...
Yeah. Help you get your business off the ground.
Yeah. So it was quite a crazy journey during that time. And back then it was Yelp and Facebook.
It was
Yelp and Facebook.
Oh, Yelp and Facebook.
Yeah, uh-huh. So how I find my celebrity was majority through Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll connect with them and I'll send them product and they'll send me pictures. But I think I only get after I ship out 300 and some pieces, I only get like 3 photos out of like the E-list celebrities in return.
Wow, out of 300?
Yeah. And then my other, in order for me to get more retail location was I go, because I can't afford actual trade show like magic show or whatever show. So I would go on Yelp and see which jewelry company or boutique clothing store that carries jewelry that is similar aesthetic to what I do.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll go there and shop them as a customer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, until the owner noticed me. Then I get one store after another. And then after I get like 3 or 4 stores, I manage to accumulate enough money. And I use all of those money to throw it into the official wholesale trade show. So that's how I grew my wholesale account.
Okay, so it started almost as like a grassroots thing to help elevate, to get you to that level where you had more exposure and we're doing the trade shows and stuff. That's super cool.
Yeah, so I have no capital and I don't know where to start, but I've worked at a retail for 7 years and then I also did wholesale 7 years. So I'm capable in knowing what it takes to do both retail and wholesale, but I'm just missing the capital.
Copy.
So then in order
so you knew that, you knew what the structure was.
Yeah, I know that. I know the structure and how to build it, but then I'm like, I don't have money. And then I'm like,
this is how I'm going to make it.
Yeah, so
there you go.
I did what I did.
Got it. Obviously it worked.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you ever attend a design or art school? And were you ever like an apprentice or did you ever have like a mentor?
I took jewelry class when I was in high school. And for some strange reason, the teacher never really fond of me nor my design. He said I'm always going to be a B student.
Really?
My work was magnificent from what I'm seeing at that time. But he told me, and I said,
is there a thing
that I could do to get an A? And then he told me, well, Kyle, art is very subjective and you're a B student.
Ew.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, how about... Yeah, you just wait. Watch me shine.
Right. So I tried to look for him. And one year, I bumped into one of the teacher who was shopping with me. Out of the blue. She's like, oh, she asked for a discount. She said, I'm a high school teacher. You give discount. I said, sure. And she told me she'd go to Alhambra High. I'm like, that's where I go to.
Oh my goodness, small world.
Yeah, and I asked, it's the jewelry class teacher is still there, and she said he passed away. I'm like, damn it.
Oh no, I wanted to show him that I'm not a B student, clearly.
Yeah, I wanted to
producing A level.
I'm not trying to shit on him, I'm more like trying to tell him that if you could have a little more faith in me, I want to make him proud.
Yeah.
That even though you don't have a lot of faith in me, but I hope I made you proud.
Yeah, and look where I am today. So and also, then, like, thank you kind of for giving me that extra fuel to the fire to go the extra mile.
He actually did.
I love that.
So it makes me...
Rest in peace.
Yes. I my intention was to go back and show him that to don't underestimate anyone. That even... I think the main reason he doesn't like me at that time because I don't speak the language.
Oh, he kind of held a grudge because of that. Got it. Did you have like an apprentice or a mentor, like specifically that you looked up to or worked under?
I think everyone that has ever that I bump into in my jewelry journey, including my vendors, gemstone dealer, bead dealers, and metal smith that I work with, or a couple of my old bosses. They're all my mentor because everything that, when I got into the industry, even though, regardless of the ability of, the way they teach or anything, but it's everything that I get exposed to that I got shown to that really, really excite me because all of these people really didn't put a limit on how much they're willing to share.
Uh-huh.
So that I am able to learn a lot of things. I'm a very curious person and I'm always have a lot of questions. And back then, YouTube or Google wasn't that big. I mean, it's available, but people were still trying to get used to doing that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And like advance the programs or whatever.
Yeah. So it's easier to see the gemstone and you ask question immediately instead of go online and go, oh, let me see the pictures.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a little tricky.
That's a great answer. How did you link up with the cast of Vanderpump Rules and also La La Land?
Let me think. It all started off Beverly Hills Housewife. So we watched that show by default because Kyle Richards shot with me.
Okay.
And then obviously some people might know that, that show transitioned into Vanderpump Rules. So all of a sudden I'm watching Vanderpump Rules without knowing. And I thought that was brilliant and I really liked that show. So, I got invited to the Pump restaurant's opening.
I did the PR for that. How funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So long ago.
Hilarious. Yeah. Did you know that Tristan was doing the magazine? Tristan was doing the magazine. He used to be the VP of the magazine, and he was doing the PR for Lisa at that time.
Oh, okay, with the Frontier magazine. Phil, oh, okay. Phil LaBelle
and all these people, yeah.
And Sean, or whatever his name was,
yes,
I think.
Yeah, Phil and Sean. So then they were in a group, and and then we just got, and now Tristan's the owner of Abby and owner of everything.
Oh, that's right. I was going to say, name rings a bell.
Big deal now.
I was going to say, he's a huge deal.
Yeah, he's
like, oh my God, how funny we were both at the same party. And like,
yeah. That was the party that I met everybody. And Tom, and Tom was especially friendly.
Uh-huh.
So then I stayed.
Schwartz and Sandoval.
Schwartz and Sandoval was especially friendly after I met them. And then he came to my showroom with Ariana and Katie. And then that's when we started to I started to sponsor jewelry for the show.
Uh-huh.
Back then it wasn't even anything because the show was big, but people don't take reality TV stars seriously.
Uh-huh.
But to me, I think I always believe in meeting good people and good people won't fail you.
So, that's so true.
Yeah, and they will grow.
I'm going to highlight that for
Yeah,
sure.
And they will grow. Like many of the people that I met in my life, many of the singers in Asia or wherever that I met, I've known them for like 20, 30 years. And one of my friends, he's a waiter. When we used to work at the Mandarin at Beverly Hills.
Oh, my gosh.
That was before
right.
Mr. Chow pop up. Chow pop up, and then that restaurant go down.
Yeah, I was going to say that one down.
Yeah, and one of my bestie at work at that time, he's a waiter. I was a waiter. And now he's the owner of Volcanoes. Yeah, he owned like 20-some locations.
I love Volcano. That's so crazy. How cool.
Yeah, so people always
what a
say,
small world.
How do you meet all of these people and how... And there might even be some Reddit people would like literally say that I like to throw myself with the celebrity. I actually don't particularly do that. I rather have the relationship grow naturally.
Yeah, and have it be more organic.
Yeah, be more organic, and I always focus on what I can give instead of what I can get out from people. And once people realize that you're genuine and you're there for a long run, and people will help each other. Good people will always help each other, and they don't fail you. So I think that kind of sums up with how I get the Vanderpump Rules cast. Always supporting me and
kind of since day one.
Yeah, yeah.
Each supporting each other and
yep.
You know the good ones.
Yeah.
the good ones are the ones that last the longest.
Because there's a lot of company that has more money than I do that's willing to pay, but you don't see them hanging out with them.
Yeah.
I've been hanging out with them for the past 9 years until the
stuff.
The thing.
Some but things happen.
Yeah, let's keep that one out.
We won't talk about that.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's move on to La La Land. How did you link up with the movie?
It was pretty lucky with La La Land. I think, because I've worked with Lindsay Lohan before. So then there's a very famous site called Who What Where.
Yeah, www.
Yeah, they once wrote an article about me and Emma Stone saying if you want to have effortless jewelry, and you want to look like Emma Stone or any of these celebrities, you could go to Kyle Chan.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, because our jewelry is simple, it's timeless, and it's not trying too hard.
Uh-huh.
So then I think...
Elegant, too.
Yeah, so then I think our name was branded and linked with Emma Stone.
Uh-huh.
So then when Mary Sulphurs from the stylist from La La Land...
Uh-huh, the movie.
...accepted that project, then I think she did a little Google search and stuff, and then they found me.
So it was like by fate? Oh, yeah, how cool.
It was by fate. They reached out to me. That's why I always tell people that every little things that you do in life, it will lead you to another door.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Always try to say yes.
Absolutely. Wow, yeah, that's so cool. I would have never known that nor guessed. Yeah. That is so rad.
And the craziest thing is one of the iconic scene that she's wearing. She was at the observatory and at the movie wearing that matching green onyx earring and pendant.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
At one point they were dancing and Emma lost one of the earrings. So the stylist told me, if you can't replace the earring by tomorrow, we might have to cut that scene.
And I'm like,
I was thinking in my head, right, Emma Stone sing and dance? I don't think she sing and danced.
Yeah, I know, right? Me either. And she like totally killed it in that movie.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to doubt people. I'll just go with it. And then...
You were obviously able to recreate it.
Yeah, I was able to recreate it fast enough, luckily. So then...
Oh, thank God, right?
I made it on that scene. And that movie was one of the biggest movies in 20 years after Titanic.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it one of the biggest grossing or
they
something
won
like that?
6.5 Oscars.
Jesus, that's so crazy. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is A-list stars, like all of those named, have been seen wearing your pieces. Where were you and what were you doing when you learned that Beyonce had used some of your accessories? In particular, Beyonce.
Wait, what was the question?
Where were you? Basically, the question is, where were you and what were you doing?
When I see all these people?
With Beyonce, particularly in mind. So when you found out Beyonce was wearing your pieces, where were you and what were you doing?
It was crazy because one of my friends that I know for years, his name is DeAndre. He's the makeup artist for Beyonce, for her world tour. And then one day out of the blue when he was shopping for a Christmas gift with me, and he asked, why don't you do jewelry for Beyonce? I'm like, is it legal? Who's going to give it to her? And he's like, it's not legal. We're going to get fired. You can't pitch anything to Beyonce otherwise. But he said he'll give it to her. And then my boyfriend, the biggest Beyonce fans, he'll go to like 5, 6, or 7 of her concerts. Every time when she has something, she'll fly to UK, she'll fly to Canada, she'll fly to wherever she is to go to all of the concerts. Anyway, so then he's the one who helped me come up with a very personal collection for Beyonce with all
the body chains. Is that the one?
Blue diamond body chain with the honeycomb shape. Uh-huh. And there's blue ivy,
which is what ties in. I was gonna say,
yep. So it was really customized just for Beyonce, and Beyonce sent me a note saying that that she thinks I'm a very smart and very talented jewelry designer, and she loved my work. And
how did that make you feel?
I felt really good, but the only tricky part is because I didn't pay her, so we don't know when she's gonna wear the jewelry. And months passed by. The only person who always spy on Beyonce is my boyfriend James.
Yeah.
So then, out of the blue, one day he just sent me. I think probably 5, 6 months later, he sent me a photo. He's like, "Is this
yours?
Your jewelry?"
And it was like the NBA finals or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So then it was that. photos.
Yeah.
When she appeared to one of the big basketball games.
Uh-huh, and she's sitting next to Jay-Z, right?
Yeah.
And isn't Blue Ivy
next to her? Yeah.
She
was
my God,
wearing
that's so cool.
$20,000 Gucci kimono gown, but then with like super simple white tees and blue jeans that is so glamorous. And then she was wearing the blue and white diamond body chain.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was like 5 or 6 months later. Yeah. Were you like on your, like, were you
I
home?
I was literally
were you?
Just sitting at home and James just texted me out of the blue. And then I was just screaming out of joy. And that's it.
The rest is history. Yeah. More to come from Beyonce.
Yeah, I feel like after La La Land and Beyonce, it literally solidified our brand and put our footprint on a very elevated pedestal.
Map yes. and pedestal. I understand why.
Yes.
And I'm obsessed with that outfit and that piece is so gorgeous.
Yeah, that was when I feel different.
I'm sure. So the next question is, your designs are in over is that accurate? 300 plus retailers worldwide?
It was, but.
Or should I have them change that?
No, you can tell them it was and how I get to that point.
Okay.
But during the pandemic, many of the accounts closed.
Copy. That makes sense.
And we obviously pivot. We have our own, like, locations now and we're doing more project and looks like, other stores slowly coming back. So we'll see how.
Great.
They roll out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
But we haven't been doing wholesale show anymore since we're strong enough to do e-commerce and e-commerce stands on its own. So it's a little bit different compared to before. I think a store don't tend to carry other people's jewelry as much anymore because they rather have higher profit margin.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they would want to do their own things.
For sure.
So, yeah, things is a little bit different now, so.
Okay, I'll make that, put that all together. Yeah. And then I'm so excited about this one. What inspires some of your pieces? Like, I know you kind of touched on this already, but environment, materials, and our trends. Do you locally source your gemstones and or diamonds?
I do locally source gemstone and diamond from actually all over the world. I mainly just go to like major trade shows.
Okay.
But then now that in this past 20-some years, I met enough people. So a lot of the time we have different dealers from different countries will bring their specialist gemstone from that particular country.
Oh, to you directly?
Yeah, directly.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, sort of like a lot of like Tanzanite, it's directly from Tanzania. And there's a lot of like emeralds, people from Colombia will show up. People
so cool.
from carrying rubies and like good sapphires, they will come from either Thailand, Africa, or some other place.
Wow, yeah. So literally all over the world.
So they literally just come, and I am actually just as excited seeing them.
Oh, of course. Well, and you got a personal delivery. Yeah, you're like, that makes it easy.
It's a lot easier when they come to my store and we just sit here
of course.
And do everything.
Well, and then you got more time to kind of like really resonate with each piece and
yep.
see what speaks to you most, right?
Yeah, I have the proper everything, lighting, everything to see the gemstone. So.
Oh, yeah, and do it like...
It's better. At the show, it's kind of like stressful and you have to fight over people. Like,
I was going
to
say,
something
yeah.
nice, you want to buy it right away.
It's like the simulation's too much almost.
Yeah.
What would you say inspires some of your pieces? Again, I know you kind of already touched on that, but
it was another interview, right?
It was, yeah, I think it was actually.
Well, a lot of my inspires comes from, I tend to like and enjoy the natural beauty of the stone. So a lot of the time I will buy the stone that I fell in love with and then work around with it. And I also get inspired by every little thing because I'm a person who like all kinds of creatures, even though they may not be everybody cups of tea, sort of like tarantulas, geckos, reptiles, anything with like cool pattern, colorations, irregulars, like infrastructures and like, yeah, even just a feeling like weather, colors, I would describe the air smells like purple sometimes, so if you know what I mean.
Wow, I totally do. That's
yeah.
super cool.
So I think
ooh,
that's
I love
how
that.
My brain works. So then it's more like sometimes it doesn't necessarily has to be a thing. It could be a vibe.
Yeah.
It could be...
like an energy almost, yeah, even. Oh, how cool. Yeah. That's so rad. I love that. I'm going to start with that for that question. That's great.
Oh, yeah. From the interview, right?
Yeah.
The purple... the air smells like purple.
Yeah.
Jewelry designer.
Yes. Okay, what was your most memorable moment while you were building your empire? And also the least. So you're like most memorable and favorite, I guess. And then you're most not so much.
Most memorable moments, probably the La La Land moment. Because that was just so overwhelming. We have people from Japan will come and interview us. We have... yeah, we're just in all sorts of news articles. Oh my God. That was my... I got news article from Vanderpump Rules, but I feel like it is more about the show than me. But when it comes to La La Land, even though it's about La La Land, but when I get that those kind of interview, I feel like it is more about me.
Well, because it was like a capsule collection that you designed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I also feel like even though La La Land is such... simple collection that I did for the movie, but it was sort of like, it sort of like speak for the journey that I've been working through prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So then even though it's a very, very simple design, but it was such a monumental moment for me.
Well, and like business changing in such a pivotal,
yeah.
So and it's always gonna, you're always, there's always gonna be a part of Kyle Chan design in that movie forever.
Yes.
And that movie is a timeless movie.
Yeah.
Just like your work.
Yep.
That's great. And then your least.
The least favorite, probably, working on the street fairs and on the street. That's how I built my business. I don't mind being seen or starting from ground zero, but one thing I couldn't deal with is the heat.
That's cute and true.
Yeah,
right?
So if the weather is cool all year round, I'll be fine. But a lot of street fairs happen to be on during summer, and it's so hot, I can't stand it. So that that would be my least favorite of all.
Okay, yeah? Good to know. And same, I'm like...
yeah, I can't.
I'm like, unless I'm by a body of water, like, no.
Yeah.
Like, don't keep me in the heat.
Crazy.
That's really cute. They're going to laugh at that.
Yeah.
And it's also true.
And at one point, I'm the only street vendor who actually brought a portable AC. And then there's always, we constantly have to have a bucket there to catch the water. So it's not leaking everywhere.
You're like, you guys all wish you had this right now,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, it's crazy. I made such a scene, and I'm so hot, I can't.
You're like, not sorry.
Yeah.
Not sorry about it. If you could look at your 13-year-old version of yourself today, what words of advice would you offer yourself?
I would say... well, you know what's crazy? Since I was really young, I've always had that personality. It's whenever I feel like I want to do something, I went and do it 100%. So I've been a waiter, I work at hair and makeup, I work at an airline, I've done wedding singing, like I've done it all. So if I have to tell myself, I would tell myself to do jewelry earlier.
Perfect.
Yes.
You're like, and period. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out, back then, I couldn't figure out that I could do it even with very little amount of money. I was just not smart enough, I guess, in that way. But now I understand how to use the least amount of resources to propel to another level.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom.
Yes.
Love it.
But it definitely takes hard work. I don't know if I can still do it right now at the age of 49, so.
49 years young, girl. If I look like you when I'm 49, I'll be kissing God's feet. Is there anything else that we want to discuss or allude to or talk about?
There's two
that
projects
we want to plug.
I'm super
okay,
excited.
Let's talk about those.
The first one's obviously Go Bar Whiskey. We're doing some exciting things next year at the distillery, which is only a couple months away. So I can't say what it is yet. I don't want to jinx it, but we're going to have something very exciting coming up. And the other...
Can we say, like, exciting announcement to...
Yeah, we're going to have exciting announcement on our venture.
To look forward to in the new year.
Yep.
Great.
And then the other thing is, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with... since my roots are from UK, it's strange that I've always wanted to carry some exclusive gift at my store, which we are now one of the official carrier to carry Floris Linden perfume. So Floris Linden has been around for 300 some years.
I was going to say that rings a bell.
Yeah, they're from UK. And
the brand, at least. Uh-huh.
They've been running 9 generations in the same address, and they are one of the biggest perfumer, one of the sole perfumer for Queen Elizabeth II, and also a lot of like iconic celebrities, James Bond, Marilyn Monroe, they all wear this particular brand. So in this whole area, we're the only one who carry them.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Is that something that we can
announce? Yeah, you can
announce. Oh, how cool. That's so rad. Oh my gosh, I want to smell too. Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Well, I think that's it. Here, let me stop this. So.